The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on the Solemnity of Christ the King. Today, we'll discuss the Gospel from Luke and talk about faith, repentance, and also about giving thanks. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
For over 50 years, Catholic Charities, often with the help of other agencies, has provided Christmas food baskets to area families and individuals in need. For most of that time, Toys for Tots has assisted with gifts for needy children in those families. Now through November 27th, Catholic Charities will accept applications from area residents for their legendary Christmas food baskets and toys through Toys for Tots. Bishop Mulvey will bless the people and baskets on Tuesday, December 17th, and distribution of the baskets will follow. To register your family, visit the offices of Catholic Charities, 615 Oliver Court in Corpus Christi, between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Monday through Thursday. Certain documentation will be required to apply for Toys for Tots and Christmas food baskets through Catholic Charities. For more specific information, call 361-884-0651. Catholic Charities of Corpus Christi, helping make Christmas a little merrier.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, Barbara. Just kind of getting ready for Thanksgiving. It's one of my special holidays.
It's a beautiful holiday. Yeah, and it's so, of course we have the fall weather, but it's hard to believe that Thanksgiving's here already.
It is, and it's such a special day, and it's an American holiday in some ways, also the Canadians, but it has great religious significance too.
Yes, so, it does. Special day, and for all of us to give thanks for the blessings that we have.
That's right, and great family day and everything else. So
yes, it is. That's wonderful. Well, our gospel today is from Luke.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the king of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes, but this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful gospel, even though it's sad that Jesus is on the cross, but it's a very beautiful gospel.
It is, and it's very meaningful that it is on the Feast of Christ the King that we read this gospel. You would think, certainly it is read during the Triduum.
Right, Easter.
The time of Lent before Easter, the Holy Week. But it's also on this last day of the liturgical year, Christ
right.
the King, and we're speaking of our King who is on the cross, which has great significance mm-hmm. to
it
us in understanding who is this Christ the King.
Yeah. So that would be the particular significance that he was ruling even while he was on the cross.
Right. And, I think the great question maybe in many people's minds is, what is the meaning of this feast?
Mm-hmm.
Well, It's like anything in life. You know, if you take something out of context, you never be able to understand its full meaning and depth. The Feast of Christ the King is at the end of our liturgical year, and of course next week we will begin Advent for the next liturgical year. We're always, you know, a month ahead of the calendar
right.
year. We have that period of Advent before, but this is the last Sunday of this liturgical year, so it sums up everything. If we have followed the Lord from the very beginning, from the time that he was announced in the womb of Mary to be our Savior, his birth, his baptism, his beginning of his preaching, his passion, death, resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the continuous unfolding of the gospel throughout the liturgical year, all of that, if we have celebrated that with this in mind, all of that sums up now on this feast day. We come back to the apex of our faith, proclaiming Christ our King. So we have to ask ourselves, when was he our King?
That's right.
It was on the cross. You know, as we see throughout the gospel, when they came and wanted to make him king, or he would oftentimes with a miracle say, don't tell anyone, because he didn't want them to mistaken him for an earthly king or for a Messiah that they were longing for at the time that would usher in that new age, as we spoke about last Sunday. No, he didn't want that. He wanted to be that person to whom everyone could come, that person who was on the cross for us as our Redeemer, as our Savior, so that in him we could come and place our faith and find that salvation and find that new life, both here on earth, but ultimately the new life in heaven. And the throne of the King is the cross. What's interesting, I think, are these two criminals that are surrounding Jesus here, and just listen to how they approach him, how they see him. One is almost a rebuke, if you are the King,
right?
And the other one simply says, Jesus, remember me,
right?
You know, there's that skepticism of the one, if you are the King, or if you are this, or if you are the Redeemer. And maybe in our own life, there's a little bit of that if. We're not sure yet. And so our faith becomes kind of a fair-weather faith. You know, as long as things are going good, kind of like what we were talking about last Sunday with the persecutions and the famines and all the difficulties, if you are, how many of us have said prayers kind of with that condition, I need this, so if you can give it to me, then give it to me. Otherwise, I'll go somewhere else, so to speak. And so that is the criminal who was not convinced in faith. The other one, you might say, just abandoned himself to a faith in Christ and saying, remember me when you come into your kingdom. There were no ifs about it. The grace that he received on the cross of seeing in Christ the one who could forgive him, the one who could offer him eternal life, he had that faith. And that's why Jesus didn't even say, well, if you continue believing,
right,
you'll
right.
have... No, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And that is the simplicity, you know, you might say, of faith. And that is what Christ can offer to all of us. Mm-hmm. Once we put conditions on the grace that God wants to give us through his Son, then we really are not expressing a true faith once we condition it. When we can be more like the other, hanging on the other side of Jesus with that total faith, then all is possible mm-hmm. for us.
Because the one who was skeptical wanted to be saved. He figured Jesus would save himself and from death, and he wanted to be saved too.
Right. You know, probably his notion was, though, get me off this cross.
Exactly. Right.
And let me continue
my
life
the way.
Yeah, the
saving was,
right.
Save me from death.
I have another bank to rob.
Right. Yeah.
So get me off the
things
cross.
Things to do.
Right. I've got other things to do. Get mm-hmm. me off this cross if you can, if you've got that kind of power, and I'll just get on with life.
Right.
The other one, no, was looking for something greater.
Right.
He was looking for a new way of life, a new fresh start, etc. maybe not even knowing what paradise meant, meaning that it was beyond the earthly life. But regardless, he didn't limit himself to that. He was ready for whatever because he saw in Christ the path, the way to that new life. And that is for us, to all of us, brothers and sisters who are listening today, and that this is the path for us to place our life in the life of the King, who has all sorts of possibilities for us. The more that we kind of condition God to our way of thinking, to our wants, to our desires, we condition His grace, which, you know, we truncate really His grace in our life. But more like the other one saying, remember me.
Right.
It's kind of an offering of not only offering our life, but offering our future into His hands to let Him kind of line out the pathway for us.
Would it also be that that particular thief or criminal, I mean, he had a conversion even though he was hanging on the cross? There's never too late for a conversion to ask for God's forgiveness.
Good point, good point. You know the gospel, I always like this gospel because it, I believe it's in Matthew's gospel where the workers of the field, you know, the one comes at the beginning of the day and he starts working. He works all day long, and then the next one comes mid-morning and mid-afternoon and midday and et cetera. And then the guy that comes at the last hour, but they all get paid the same. And, of course, the earlier ones start complaining. It says, this isn't fair. You know, I've been working longer. And Jesus doesn't look at things that way. So even you're right. Here on the cross, we have a gentleman at the last hour of his life is really has a conversion experience meeting the King.
Right.
And may not even know that, but something moved in his heart, in his life, to recognize and to express his faith in Christ, and he gets paradise, which is what
late.
We all want.
That's right. Bishop, there was something I wanted to ask you about, because in this gospel it talked about the inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews," and every time I look at the cross, there are the words, "INRI," and I've always wondered what that meant, and so it was until I read this gospel that I realized it means this is the King of the Jews.
Well, it really means the I would be the J for us, Jesus.
Okay.
And
right.
Then the N would be the Nazarene. He was known as the one from Nazareth or the Nazarene.
Okay.
R is Rex, or in Latin would be King. And the other I would be our J for Jews. So Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews. Yeah, it was the way it was written, at least for the Latin part.
Right.
It was also said to have been written in Aramaic, I guess, in Greek, or Hebrew, so that everyone would know, whatever nationality they were, who this was. But what we're more familiar with is the INRI, which is Latin for Jesus Nazarene, King of Jews.
Yeah. Interesting. So that clears that up.
Right. So most of us will go home today after Mass and look at our crucifixes on the wall.
Look at the one while they're at when they're receiving the Eucharist,
right.
Look up and understand what that is.
Yeah, right, right. It was the inscription that Pilate put up there to announce who this was, the one that claimed. And that's why some said he claimed that he was. And that's why Pilate said, they said, don't write Jesus Nazarene, King of the Jews. Right, he said he was, and Pilate said, "I've written what I've written."
That's nice.
So it's like more of a proclamation than that this is who this man is.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, then we will remember from this gospel that we put our faith in God and ask for, and the conversion can happen at any time.
Exactly, because He is our King, and He is the one who gives total meaning to our life. Without Him, our life doesn't have meaning.
All right. We are going to take a break and we will be right back.
No one remembers the first Thanksgiving Day picnic at Our Lady of Consolation Church in Botman because it took place over 100 years ago. But the tradition continues this November 28th. The 105th sit-down family-style all-you-can-eat turkey with all the trimmings dinner will be served from 10:30 a.m. till 2 p.m. and take-home meals will be available. It's an all-day event with loads of games, a country store, turkey shoot, trap and target, silent auction, cookbooks, Wheel of Fortune, a fish pond, and more to do and see after your meal until 6 p.m. Then be sure to stay for the dance from 8 till midnight, featuring the music of Tumble Dry Low. Don't spend Thanksgiving alone this year. Celebrate with the Votman community. Take Highway 77 south of Kingsville, then go 5 miles east on FM 628. You won't find friendlier people anywhere. For more details, call the parish office, 361-297-5255.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, before the break, we were talking about the criminals that were on the cross on either side of Jesus. And on the with the good criminal, you know, he had kind of a, he had a conversion, and, you know, by meeting Christ. And, of course, Jesus said to him, you know, today you will be with me in paradise. We see that, I read that last line and I think about eternal life. I wonder what happened, where that criminal went.
How he ended up.
How he ended up, yes. Wow. Yeah. Yes. Because we know there are different stages.
You know, it's probably a question we all have.
You right. Know?
We,
I know. We, you hope he goes straight.
Right. Well, you know, I always think that our doctrine of the church, which creates then our catechism, mm-hmm. is all because we question. We mm-hmm. have questions, and it's all based in the scripture. Mm-hmm. So this is a great question. When we see that that scene of the good thief, we used to refer to him or refer right. to him or the criminal, the good criminal that turns, mm-hmm. what happened to him?
Right.
And that's not the first time that question's ever been asked.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to look back in the scripture and go back and see what did Jesus see in this man. He obviously mm-hmm. saw a person of faith, which
right.
was, I would, you know, probably always there. But I think the point here on the cross is that this man met salvation in Christ, in a person. He may have never heard of him before. He mm-hmm. may have... He may have heard things that he said or things that were said about him. But the encounter here is what's so important, that this man met God.
Right.
God, who is man in Christ, and he met him, and it was at that moment that his life changed. That is what's called a conversion, that the meeting of Christ. So when Jesus says, "This day you will be with me in paradise," he saw in this man a true act of love, that he gave his life to God, who is love. You know, St. John of the Cross said a very beautiful thing. He said, "At the evening of life, we shall be judged on our love." In the evening of life,
so that would be the latter part of our life?
Yes, I would, you know, because what is life but a response to God, who is love, because God loves us and
right.
sent his Son to be our Savior. Our life has to be a response to that. What does love mean? Patient, kind, forgiving, and so all the things that Jesus taught us. But in the end, what is it? It's love. That's why when we look at the final exam and we
right.
have to be judged.
That's right.
With the final exam, what is it? Whatever you've done to the least, you've done to me. Christ again, Christ the King, is at the center of that judgment. Whatever we've done, when Lord, when did I do that to you? When I was in prison, when I was hungry, when I was without clothing, when I was in need of anything, you did it to me. Christ puts himself in that scene of every encounter with those who are in need. And that's why our charity toward others is not social work. It's faith work. It's the work of seeing Christ in others and showing our love for God by expressing our love in that love of God in our neighbor. And so that is our exam. And so you can understand then when St. John says, at the evening of life, we shall be judged on our love. That love is then what purifies us. You know, the purifying element of life is love.
Right.
If we don't love, we'll never be purified. We go into ourselves, and we find all sorts of complications. But the purifying element is love. So when we talk about the afterlife, if that love is pure, And that's why the Beatitude, the first Beatitude is, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Mm-hmm. In other words, blessed are those who have loved in their life, because it's love that purifies, they will see God. So at the particular judgment, we say, there's a particular judgment and the general judgment. The particular judgment is at the end of life. As you and I leave this world, we are judged in a particular way according to our love, if we have loved or not. So there are some that you might say are purified throughout life, who've given their life to being loving, to being love. We won't name names, but I think mm-hmm. we can all remember people, both internationally or maybe even locally, who have just been pure love mm-hmm. for others. They can see God in the right. beatific vision right away. The others we call, we use the word purgatory. Unfortunately, that word has taken on such a negative tone in right. people's minds, and people who don't understand the doctrine of purgatory totally. But it is that time of purifying love, mm-hmm. that if I haven't loved in a pure way, or if I haven't loved totally in this life, I will learn to love in purgatory. Mm-hmm. So it's like, to put it in very mundane terms, is the carrots in front of you now move toward it. Or in more spiritual, more real terms of that, is that God is in front of you now, learn to love. That's our purification, that's our purgatory, is learning to love, to learn to stop being selfish.
Gives you another opportunity.
Yeah, it's an opportunity, but I mean, the opportunity's already there. It's just purifying that selfishness that's still lingering in our life as we leave this world. Mm-hmm. The other, of course, is eternal damnation, where we refuse to love. We know that we should love, we can love, we must love, and we don't. And so that's the particular judgment. We are, as St. John of the Cross again says, at the evening life, we're judged on our love. If we have not loved anyone but ourselves, then that is our fate. Mm-hmm. So, again, this Feast of Christ the King reminds us that life is about encountering Christ the King. And the place probably that we most encounter him is on the cross. Mm-hmm. In our crosses, I mean, there's no atheist in a foxhole, as I say.
That's right.
It's in our most
right.
difficult trials that we have to look for something greater than ourselves. And that's where Christ is our King, on the cross, because it's in the crosses of life that we turn to him, as this criminal did. Lord, remember me in your kingdom.
That's right.
And that was his act of love. So life is love, and we will be judged by that life of love to whatever degree we have responded to God's love.
So if we haven't been living that life of love, we can ask for forgiveness and start anew.
Forgiveness is a part of love, right?
Right.
And some of the, this is where our big brothers and sisters in faith are called saints. They're our big brothers and sisters. And I forget which one said, but you can never stand still in life. Either you're going backwards or you're moving forward, but you never stand still.
True.
Because love is dynamic. So if we find ourselves going backwards, yes, we can start over by loving. But, and then another one said that it's not about how many good things we do, it's about how often we start over. Do we trust God enough, as this man did on the cross, to start over?
I like that, how often we start
yeah,
over.
Yeah, that's our holiness, because that's where we build up the holy muscles, starting over.
But recognizing things in ourselves that
yes.
maybe we could have done differently.
Exactly, yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Bishop, if you could end this morning with a Thanksgiving prayer for us.
It is Thanksgiving, so let us ask the Lord the grace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord God, we give you thanks because you are our God and you have sent your Son as our Savior. Our thanks is an expression of our faith. It is an expression of our love. May we give you thanks always, because all that we have and all that we are is your gift. May you bless us, may you bless our country, and may you bring peace and justice to our world. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us today. Have a safe rest of your weekend and a blessed Thanksgiving.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.